If you have your Bibles, you can turn to James chapter 3. On your way to James, you may want to find and hold a place in Matthew chapter 12 as well. For us this morning, the simple message of James, your tongue, your talk, will prove your faith to be the genuine faith, the real faith, the true faith, the living faith that saves. Or your tongue and your talk will prove your faith to be the fake and the false, the dead faith that does not, that cannot save. James chapter 3, how you talk is another test of living faith. We take the test. We look to our mouth to measure the genuineness of the faith in our hearts. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says this in verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Good News Translation says it this way, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Listen, can I caution you this morning? Be careful of the deception. I would call it the very lie from the devil himself. Be careful of thinking that words don't matter, that words are just words after all. My guess would be that you may be sensitive even as I do. We live in a day where it seems that more and more in Christianity, nothing matters. It doesn't matter how you live. Sure, you can be a Christian and still live like that. That doesn't matter. Nothing does. It doesn't matter what you do. Sure, you can be a Christian and still do that. All that doesn't matter. Nothing does. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't hardly seem to matter anymore, even what the Bible says. Sure, you can be a Christian, and as evidenced by your behavior and by your belief, not know the word at all. Not abide by it in any way. Disobey it totally, completely. Ignore it. Claim it to be irrelevant and wrong for you, for this 21st century life and living. What's happened to us, right? Isn't it true? Oh, how we've so maliciously abused God's love. How we've so mistreated God's grace, our freedom in Him, our life in Him, how we have so foolishly and carelessly neglected and ignored His Word. His Word, which is light and life for us. His Word that is the guide to light the path for us. Listen, be careful of that. Do you understand this morning? Jesus didn't shed His blood, die at Calvary for you, just so you could be who you've always been and do what you've always done. Just so you could stay in the world, loving it, looking like it, attached to it, influenced by it. Do you understand the agony of the cross this morning? Jesus didn't take the nails, the crown of thorns, the spear in his side for you. He didn't do that for you just so you could continue living on in the kingdom of darkness. Jesus didn't bear the full weight of God's wrath for your sin and the subsequent separation from God for your sin. He didn't do that. He didn't endure that just so you could go on sinning. Be careful of thinking that he did. Be careful of thinking how you live, what you do doesn't matter. Listen, be careful of believing the devil's lie and falling prey to the devil's deception. James chapter 3, very specifically again, be careful of thinking that your words don't matter. Be careful of thinking you can talk however you want, say whatever you want. Jesus isn't concerned about that after all. He's not concerned that a bad word slips out every now and then. He's not concerned that you talk that way about them. Jesus is only concerned about your heart, that outside stuff. It doesn't matter, not to him. Words don't matter, not to him. Say what you want. Talk how you want. Just keep your heart right and he'll be happy and you'll be fine. Listen, be careful of trying to separate your tongue and your talk from your heart. Listen, you can't do that. Jesus says you can't. It's impossible. It's only in your mouth if your heart is full of that. It only comes out of your mouth because, in fact, your heart is so full of that, it overflows from your heart and into and out of then your mouth. And listen, again, that's not what the preacher says. That's not what the church says. Oh, the church, always trying to put so many rules on us. What we can do, what we can't do. Always trying to tell us. Always trying to boss us. No, that's what Jesus says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus says that. Do you understand? Think it not true? Think your heart can be fine, though your words aren't? You have to take that up with him. Because your argument is with him, what he said. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus says this, "The things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things make a man unclean. Your tongue and your talk reveal what's on the inside." If what comes out's no good, it's only because what's inside isn't either. If the unclean comes out, it's only because the inside is unclean as well. That's what Jesus says. And that's what James says. Your tongue and your talk reveal your heart, reveal the condition of your heart. Or as one puts it, your tongue is a tattletale. And it tattles on your heart. What an image, right? Every word you speak, your tongue tattling on your heart. That way you just talked, that you just said about them, those words that you just used, tattletale. Your tongue told on you, told everyone who heard you that's what's in your heart. No wonder then, James, the test. We take the test. We measure our heart. What exactly is in our heart? We measure the genuineness of the faith in our heart by way of the words of our mouth. The question, even at the outset of the message this morning then, through this last week, as you would catalog, as you would take inventory of what you said, how you talked, how comfortable are you with what that reveals about your heart? That's what it does. It tattles on your heart. You say you're a Christian. Did your talk prove that you are? You say that Jesus is in your heart. Did your talk verify that he is? Did only Jesus talk? Did only Jesus' words come then from your mouth? Is that what so filled your heart? Is he what so filled your heart that it overflowed? He overflowed from your heart into and out of then your mouth? It's a question that no doubt both challenges us, and unless I miss my guess, convicts us all this morning. How we talk, the words of our mouth, the control of our tongue. This is of great concern to James. Interesting to note, so much so that it comes up in every chapter of his book. James chapter 1 and verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. James chapter 2, speak and act as those who are going to be judged. Of course, our chapter this morning, chapter 3, the bulk of it all about our tongue and our talk. James chapter 4 and verse 11, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping the law. James chapter 5 and verse 12, above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. And no wonder, really, James is concerned. With him, surely all of us would understand and attest to this truth. More damage has been done. More problems caused. More people been hurt. More relationships have been broken by the tongue, more than by any other thing. Maybe in part, very simply, because of how much it's used. How it was ever counted or calculated, I certainly have no idea, but it's been estimated that we will speak approximately 16,000 words a day. Some have calculated that to be a 54-page book that each of us could write each day with the words we've spoken. Nearly 4,500-page books over the course of a year. Back in the day, the research found if you're a normal person, you'll spend 1/5 of your life talking. No wonder our propensity for sin, death, destruction by way of our words. Do you understand? 16,000 words a day. Let 90%. That's a good score on a test. That's an A-. That's above average. That's way above just passing. Let 90% of your words each day be life. Still then, you're going to speak almost 2,000 words of death every day. So many words. So much talk. No wonder then, so many of the sins committed by the tongue, the damage caused, the death brought. No wonder then, the instruction of Scripture that the tongue be controlled. And no wonder then, this, in the words of one preacher echoing the message of James, nowhere is the union of faith and works more visible than in your speech. The genuineness of your faith will be revealed, will be evidenced in the control of your tongue. Put the thermometer under your tongue and you can know your temperature. Do you have a fever or no? Are you sick or are you well? James says, check the tongue. You'll know your spiritual temperature. Are you sick or are you well? Is yours the living faith or the dead? To Peter in the courtyard, do you remember? You were with Jesus. The way you talk gives you away. They were referencing his Galilean accent, but there's a truth there apart from that. One says it simply this way: the mouth is the monitor of the human condition. Right words, life words, the manifestation of a righteous life. And the wrong words, the death and destruction words, the manifestation of a wicked and unregenerate one. How you talk will give away where you're from, this world or his kingdom. How you talk will give away who you've been with and who you've belonged to. The cursing crowd of the courtyard or Jesus, the one whose disciple you claim to be. How you talk will give away your faith. True or false. Genuine or fake. Living or dead. Saving faith or not. So James chapter 3, take the test. Controlling the tongue. Our words do matter. So then the great care that we take with our words. We're going to consider the message of James in this context. The reasons for controlling the tongue. James is going to give us a few in verses 1 through 12. We won't get past the first one this morning. James says the tongue must be controlled because the tongue has the power to condemn us. Look at it in verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. James very clearly and specifically references teachers, the teaching and or the preaching ministry. It's important to recognize James is not discouraging that. Numbers chapter 11, these are the words of Moses. I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. And the prophetic ministry, it's not just revealing God's word for and about the future. It's proclaiming, declaring, teaching God's word for right now. I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, here is a saying you can trust. If anyone wants to be a leader in the church in a place of teaching, would certainly put one as a leader in the church. If anyone wants to be a leader, he wants to do a good work for God and for people. In Matthew 28, Jesus' words to all his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Listen, like Jeremiah, his word ought to be like a fire inside of us. We wear ourselves out trying to hold it in. Even in fact, we cannot. Like Paul, we should sense even a compelling obligation to proclaim his word. Woe to me if I don't. That's what Paul said. That's what we should say. And yet, that being true, this also is, and in fact, is the very specifically focused message of James. No one ought to embark on a teaching ministry without a sense of the seriousness involved. Don't step in to that kind of role, that position, that place. Don't do it lightly. Understand fully. Understand completely the weight of responsibility that comes with the teaching. Think the position to be one of honor and prestige, and esteem, and authority. No. First and foremost, before it's ever any of that, before it's ever anything else, listen, it's the place of stricter judgment. It's no small thing to speak the word of God. It's an awesome responsibility. And really, as it relates to the tongue, what James says is that with the teaching ministry, in the teaching role, comes a greater liability for you to bring judgment, for you to bring condemnation on yourself because of the words you spoke. Rather, to say maybe the words you misspoke. One says it this way, being a teacher of God's word is a very dangerous occupation for anyone because of the power of the tongue to speak error or to speak misjudgment or to speak inappropriately or to misrepresent God, His word, His way and His will, His Son, and His Spirit. The potential to sin with your tongue, according to the studies done, each day you'll have 16,000 chances to do that. As a teacher, that number greatly and exponentially increases. No wonder then, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers. Back to James 1, listen, it really is good for us to be quick to hear, quick to listen, and slow to speak. In the end, in the words of one preacher, James is not restraining the genuinely gifted. He's not restraining the genuinely qualified. He's not restraining the genuinely called. He's not restraining the genuinely sincere and knowledgeable. He is simply admonishing his readers to very carefully consider the seriousness of the role of teaching. Very carefully consider that the teacher will receive a stricter judgment. Do you understand? This is the message of James. We don't shy away from, we don't ignore the prompting of the Spirit to share, to speak to people, to disciple people, to call people into our home and say, hey, let me just share with you quickly this devotion. Let me just share with you this word that I received from the Lord. Let me encourage you by it. We don't live in fear of that. We just live in recognition. Wow, what a responsibility that is. It really is true, whether it be in our home, whether it be here, whether it be those that you have influence over. Listen, teacher, be careful with your words. The words that you speak on his behalf, the words you speak as his word, be careful, because your words have the power to bring judgment, condemnation on you. Not meaning in any way to take away from what James says, can I encourage you though to consider this as well? Less specific, but the same sort of application. Listen, no matter your position, no matter your role in life, your tongue is a liability to you. Be careful. Be very, very careful with your words in whatever your place in life. Husbands, James says teachers, so we're off the hook, right? Listen, your role as husband, your tongue is a liability to you. You need to be careful of the words that you speak to your wife. Wife, understand the weight of responsibility that comes with your role, that comes with your position. Don't enter it lightly. Your tongue is a liability. Be very careful the words that you use to talk about your husband. Parents, children, do you understand? You may not claim the teacher title, but same as the teacher, by virtue of your position, your tongue is still a liability, even maybe your greatest liability. Parenting, childhood, oh, what a dangerous occupation because of the power of the tongue to speak death instead of life in our home. Be careful, Dad, Mom, children. Be careful. By virtue of your position, by virtue of your role, there is great potential for you to sin with your tongue. Dad, Mom, to say things you ought never to say, not to anyone, let alone your child. Children, there's great potential to sin. Say things you ought not to say. things that do not honor father and mother. Be careful, employer, employee. Isn't it the easiest thing to do as an employee to complain about your boss, to ridicule, to malign? Listen, Christian, there's just no other way to call it. It is what it is than to gossip. When boss is not in the room, you and the rest talking about all they did wrong and all they should have. Do you understand? I mean, there's no way to make it pretty. That's gossip. That's sin. That's wrong. That's an indication of dead faith. That's an indication of evil overflowing out of your heart into your mouth. Be careful, government representative, citizen. Come on, it's just real talk. Especially us in the room, especially in the current condition and leadership of our country and our state. There's nothing easier than to complain and malign and slander and gossip. It's basically what we do whenever we get together with like-minded believers. We complain about everybody in authority in our country. Be careful the liability that your tongue brings to you, no matter your position in life. James references teachers. We don't ignore that. We don't neglect it. We don't skip over it. Teachers, be careful. You will be judged more strictly after all. But really what James says applies as well to all of us. No matter our role, our tongue is a liability in bringing judgment. No matter our place, no matter our position in life, our tongue has the power and the potential to condemn us. With your position in life, whatever it may be, comes great responsibility. Very specifically, the responsibility to control your tongue, to watch what you say. We read it in part a few minutes ago. Consider this that Jesus says. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. Jesus talking to religious leaders that had criticized and maligned him, claimed his ministry to be of Beelzebub, not of God. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Listen now. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Listen, he's still not done, even still more. Verse 37. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Do you understand the potential of your words to condemn you? 16,000 words a day, and every single one, every word spoken, all 16,000, you will have to give an account for. Story is told a number of years ago. A man in London, England, turned on his television and saw a half-hour program that came out of Texas. He, the man in London, was so absolutely curious about the program coming out of Texas that he called the station, found out that that was a local program that had been broadcast 3 years earlier. The only explanation they had as to how he, the man in London, picked up on his television the half-hour show from Texas was the fact that scientifically, once something goes out into the airwaves, it stays there. And in this case, somehow, some way, found its way to his receiver. Amazing, right? Unbelievable. It is true. Scientists tell us that sound waves are never really lost. Sound waves bounce off of things, but they keep going, going, and going, going on and out into space forever. And scientists do tell us that if we had a machine delicate and sensitive enough, we could recapture those sound waves and replay and hear again every word ever spoken. Wow. What a machine that would be, right? And how fearful and intimidating that would be. All of us in the room right now, I hope my spouse never gets that machine. My boss never gets it. I hope my pastor never gets it either. Listen, God has that machine. Matthew chapter 12. On the day of judgment, God who is listening, God who has captured it all, every single one of your words, will replay them, hear them again, and on the basis of them, acquit or condemn. Look at it again, verse 37. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Despite seeing it clearly in red, the very words of Jesus, despite reading it, understanding the message of it, it's clear to see, it's not difficult to understand. Immediately, though, there's a bit of a disturbance that arises within us, isn't there? Wait a minute. Based on my words, I'll be acquitted or condemned on Judgment Day? I thought it was based on Jesus. I thought it was based on my faith in Him. You're right, it is. But from the beginning, this has been the challenge. This has been the admonition of James. But you have to make sure your faith in Jesus is real and genuine, because there is a living faith that saves. But so also, there's the fake and the false, the dead faith that doesn't. You have to make sure that yours is the former, not the latter. The genuine, not the fake. The living, not the dead. You're not saved simply by a faith that says, I believe in Jesus. Remember, even the demons have that kind of faith, and they're certainly not saved. You're saved by a faith that says, I believe in Jesus, and here's the evidence of my life to prove that I do, to prove that my faith in Him is the real faith, the genuine, the living faith that does save me. Here's the evidence of my life, James. I persevere in the trial because my faith is real. Of course I do. I overcome temptation. I don't just listen to the word. I do what it says. Of course I do, because my faith is the genuine faith. I care for the widow and the orphan, the poor and the needy, the hungry and the cold. I don't show favoritism, racism, or bigotry. I do good works. And, James chapter 3, I watch what I say. I bring my tongue under control, because my faith is the living faith that saves. Do you understand? Listen, your faith will be manifested in your words, so that your faith can literally be judged then according to your words. Faith is sort of an intangible thing. You don't pull it out of your wallet. See, of course I have faith. Of course I'm in the faith. Of course I'm a Christian. Here's my card. See right there, Denny, my name's on it, signed by Jesus. That's not how faith works. So when one says, I have faith, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, there's a sense that can only be proven by their life. They can't pull out the card or any other tangible thing to prove it's true. But there's still the need to prove that it's true. Nobody just writing up a card, sure, I'm a Christian. Nobody just throwing it out there whenever they want, sure, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian, I'm a Christian. We're all Christians, sure we are. No, there has to be a way to prove your faith. How so? By your life. James chapter 3, by your talk. Your faith will be manifested in your words. So that your faith can literally be judged according to your words. One says it this way: when you give your life to Christ and your life is transformed and you have a new heart, you will then as well have a new vocabulary. On the other hand, a faith which does not transform the tongue is no saving faith at all. Remember, your tongue is a tattletale, and it tells on your heart. So along with your faith, your heart is revealed by your words. In Jesus' own words, Matthew chapter 12, it's good words coming from a good heart, or it's evil coming from the evil inside you still. Proverbs 15, the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Of course it does, because out of the abundance of the evil inside comes the evil expressed on the outside. And to stand this morning, every single one of us, everything we've ever said, every word we've ever spoken, every careless word, every unfair and unjust and undeserved criticism, every insult, every time we malign those in authority, the slandering, the smearing, the backbiting, the gossiping, every time we spoke the harsh and the harmful, the damaging and destructive, every time we spoke death instead of life, for every word, every single word will stand before God on Judgment Day, and to Him we will give an account. Jesus says we will. Do you understand? So then the message of James, really good for us to even consider the chapter 1 message of James once more. Listen, no wonder, be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Listen, help yourself, protect yourself, say less. As your pastor, let me remind you and encourage you, you have the right to remain silent. And this is a good right that you might want to take advantage of every opportunity that you have. Be very careful what you say. There's judgment coming. There's a day of accounting coming. Be very careful to bring the tongue under control, because the tongue can be a source of condemnation, even in fact, eternal condemnation. When it tattletales on your evil heart, when it evidences your fake and false, dead and non-saving faith by your words, by your tongue, what you say, how you talk, acquitted or condemned, Jesus says so. Let me conclude by reminding you of just a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember? Over you, to you, He speaks words of love. Jesus speaks words of love, honor and value, grace and mercy and forgiveness, acceptance and friendship, words to draw you near, not push you away, words that build a bridge of relationship, not a wall of separation. He speaks truth. He speaks patience. He speaks words of care and concern and compassion. He speaks words of help and healing and life. He speaks words of peace and blessing. So, listen, let Him who is in you, who speaks all that to you, let Him speak through you. Speak His words. Do you understand this morning? Listen, speak His words. And there will be no power, There will be no potential then for your words to condemn you on that day when you stand before him and give an account to him. Your words will be good words, his words. Your words will tattletale on the good in your heart. Your words will reveal who lives in you. Your words will evidence the living and saving faith that is yours. Your words will acquit you, not condemn you. Do you understand? Win the battle with the tongue by filtering everything that comes from it through simply this. If it's not how he talks, it's not going to be how I talk. And let me conclude by encouraging you to respond rightly to the word of James this morning with this simple prayer. You know it. Jesus, oh Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Would you bow your heads, Father? We make this to be our prayer. In light of what James says, the concern for the tongue, because it has the power to condemn us. Some of us confronted this morning words that we're not proud of, but more specifically, those words that indicate and evidence and reveal to us a heart we thought was right. We thought was okay, just fine, all good. But we're all of a sudden realizing, maybe not so much. Maybe many of us in the room, in light of our tongue, words that we've spoken, in an inability to argue with you, Jesus, we see your word, we see it clearly. Those words don't just happen. Those words didn't just come from anywhere. Those words come from our heart. And all of a sudden we're concerned, they don't show a good heart. We don't want that kind of anger in our heart. We don't want that kind of death and destruction in our heart. But that's what we talked. That's what we said. And our tongue is tattletaling on our heart today. And we recognize there's a work we still need you to do inside of us. So Jesus, this morning our prayer. Oh, make the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. Would you just take a moment? Don't just pray it to pray it. But as you sense the stirring in your heart, the word of the Lord this morning, and as you sense that tugging, that from the Holy Spirit that would encourage you, that would challenge you, that would speak to you this morning to say, hey, there's that of the word that we can apply. There's that of the word that you need to hear. There's that of the word that's for you. As you sense that from him, in your own way, just quietly where you sit, would you just make that your prayer? May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight. Oh, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My guess would be this morning that all of us have need to pray it. But I don't want you just to repeat it. I don't want you to just say it to say it. I want it to come from the very longing of your heart. Take a moment and ask him to forgive you. Words spoken harshly. Unfair criticism. Words that brought death, destruction. Jesus, forgive. Wash and cleanse. Make my heart to be pure. Before I pray the Lord's blessing over you, settle in your mind. Settle in your mind. Before day's end, you're going to speak His words to and over somebody. You're going to go from this place into somebody by phone, by text or email, at the home, at the restaurant, wherever it is. You're going to speak words of life. You're going to speak healing words, peace and blessing. You're going to speak gracious words, forgiveness, honor and value. Determine today, right now, in this moment, tomorrow. Those are the words you're going to speak. Come on, you know your place. You know your position. Employer, those are the words you're going to speak. Employee, those are the words you're going to speak. Come on, husband, wife, dad, mom, kids, come on. Those are the words I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak His words. I'm going to speak His words. Determine, settle that in your heart today. Tomorrow's conversation decided right now in this moment. This is how I'm going to talk tomorrow. This is how I'm going to talk on Tuesday. Decided right here in this room in this moment. I'm going to speak His words. Lord, would you help us in that, I pray. Just once more, would you agree with me? Oh, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Let me pray the Lord's blessing over you before we leave this morning. Sounds more the thing that a parent should say than maybe a pastor should say. But I hope you talk right this week. I hope you talk right. Extend your hands to receive His blessing, would you? And I pray His blessing over you. In the name of Jesus, on the authority of God's own word, I declare it. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you His peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive that blessing, would you? Say amen this morning. Amen and amen.